You're now live and recording.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining. I think we're almost all here. I'll go ahead and begin with roll call. Michelle Weber.
Here.
Susan Cox is here, and we're waiting for Emily, but we're also joined by Caitlin and Pete. Is there anyone else joining Zoom or otherwise?
Susan, excuse me, this is Andrea. I'm here as well.
Got it. Thank you. And Mark and Camille. Okay. Well, I think we can wait a few minutes, I guess, for Emily, but I also want to be conscious of everybody's time and the fact that we actually have the sun shining today. So hopefully we can finish early and get out there and enjoy it. So actually, the comment that I want to make is to thank Camille for all the work she's done. When I, you know, go over the timeline and all the different things that have happened, she has done an amazing job of keeping us on track. So, you know, Camille, thank you for that. I know it hasn't been easy. And also to my fellow committee that we have continued to slog through this, and I'm hoping that we're getting, you know, somewhere near the end of it. I know we've received a couple of emails in the last, I guess it's today, with regard to some public comment and issues that are being expressed about this process and some of the issues that they wanted to address. So I don't know if anyone would like to speak to that. And if not, I think we can begin to go down the agenda. Camille, do we have a quorum? Are we okay without Emily joining yet?
Yes.
Okay.
We're fine with that.
Okay. Okay, Mark, I'm turning it over to you.
Okay. I don't know what you want to do with all the, you know, the comments that we've received. I mean, the board thought it was important that we take a look at the bylaws. And I think the whole point was to kind of focus the bylaws a little more and really use the policies and statutes that rule what the board does and how they act was important to the board. So I think that's what you've done. And I'm not sure, you know, again, with public input, what they're really, you know, wanting, because it seems like what they're saying is a large portion of what you've done. So, you know, with that, I think you need to have a discussion about what you need to change at this point or how you want to move forward with the bylaws. So.
Michelle, do you have anything you wanted to add at this point?
No, I appreciate, well, yes, I do actually. I appreciate the time that's being taken to share comments and concerns with the process that we're undergoing. I am too a little bit uncertain as to exactly what we're being asked to change. I feel like we're taking our bylaws and focusing them, and then, you know, having an ability to utilize our policies in a more robust way. So, and have that, you know, as we've discussed multiple times, kind of some flexibility to more quickly adapt when we need to change, you know. So that was our thought process. And hopefully when the final product is out there, everyone is in line with what our thought process is.
I guess I would say that what I am hearing or reading from the concerns are people who have previously been on the board. So I think the fact that they have some experience, I think that needs to be taken into account. So from my perspective, one person is suggesting that we abandon bylaws at the recommendation, as some of the consultants that we've had. And I think that's kind of that we've gone a long way past that, I think. But I guess my personal feeling about bylaws is that they, you look at what's broken and what needs to be fixed or repaired. So I think the simpler they are, the more concise they are, the better. Two issues that I don't think that we've totally addressed, and we probably will do that as we're going through the process, trying to make sure that Emily is able to join us. But one is the, I think we've gone through most everything else, but one was the role of the president or chair of the board. And then the other was clarity around the general counsel. So should we just go ahead and start going through the document? Andrea, do you have anything you want to add at this point?
I don't have anything.
I didn't receive the emails or concerns that you're talking about today, so I don't have anything on that. Mm-hmm. But I have the bylaws and the comments on there that you want to discuss, so I'm here to help you do that.
Okay. Caitlin or Pete? I mean, I think one of the things that we had come to as a ad hoc committee is that we've been, you know, going through this over and over, and at some point really felt like we needed to have broader input from the board. And so that was something we've done at a previous meeting. And now we're really getting down, I think, to the end point. So Caitlin, did you have anything you wanted to add?
And let me apologize. I'm picking up my son at camp right now. I hope you can hear me okay.
Oh, you're in the sunshine.
Now, I'm at soccer camp, actually. And your question is if I have anything to add. You know, I think this was in direct response to request, essentially, of a board member that wanted to review the bylaws, and at least one other board member was supportive of that, maybe even two. And so this was not something I was in support of in terms of board members taking on this responsibility. I thought it would be better handled by staff. So I'm just really here to answer questions, or I guess just to observe the process. I think it's important that we, I guess, really do the best job that we can for the agency while listening to all these different perspectives. Of course, you know, we've gotten some emails today, so I want to make sure we're not discounting those emails of folks that are sharing their concerns. So I'm just here in a supportive role, I would say, to see what I can do. But I would just encourage that we lean on staff very heavily during this process, since as board members, this isn't necessarily our expertise.
I guess I feel like we've done a lot of back and forth, and that it's been a pretty collaborative process here. So Camille, do you know, is Emily joining us today?
I had heard earlier that she was, and I have just okay. reached out to her, and I'm waiting to hear back.
Okay, that's good. Okay. Well, today we were, I think if people have had a chance to review all the different sections that we have gone through, and the things that we were going to look at today are, first of all, the supporting documents. I think those have come in. We've had a chance to review those. One of the policies, and this is something that Michelle, you've talked about, and that's the board harassment policy. So is that something that we need to review, or just we're looking at what's there now and that's agreeable and okay?
To prepare for today, since it's been a while since we've had conversation, I went back and watched the last two committee meetings just to kind of get back into, you know, where we are right now. And when we left the conversation around the harassment policy, there were some things that we were trying to kind of resolve as we learned some things from our, you know, in the last year going through some challenges. We've learned some things. And I see Andrea's review and some comments that she's made to address just what's already here, but I'm not sure that I'm seeing anything that kind of ties to the conversation that we had around maybe
Mark has the
kind of revising the process a little bit to you know, to offset some of the frustrations that board members had as a result of that process, how we want that report to look when we get that final product, those kinds of things I'm not seeing in here, so I'm not sure where we are with that.
Mark, I was going to ask, has with regard to the harassment policy, is that something that HR has had an opportunity to look at and review as well?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Oh, sorry, apologize. I was wondering if the HR director has had an opportunity to review the harassment policy, if there's any input from that perspective and expertise.
They were just sent through council. The HR director did not have any feedback. At this
time. Okay.
And I thought there was a conversation that we wanted legal counsel to advise the full board on that policy and get everybody's feedback about, you know, things that worked and things that didn't work. I guess maybe we just have a few things that were still on the to-do list, perhaps.
That, yes, that was the conversation, but the request of the committee had been to send them to legal counsel for review first and then have that discussion.
Thank you.
Did I do that, Camille?
Yes, you did.
Okay, yeah, and it was my understanding, I thought so. When I did that, it was just for legal compliance, leaving it to you all to, you know, change things as you may wish to, after letting you know that what is in there is compliant.
Emily, were there any changes that you wanted to the corrected draft or the updated?
Just on this section or overall?
On this section, harassment, since we're on that one now.
Yes, I guess I didn't understand the scope of what our request to Andrea was. I guess I was looking more for direction and not just for legal compliance because I assumed it had already been through our legal guidance prior.
Right, so I thought it was my understanding when we left the conversation last time that we were going to look to experts to help us draft language that would get us to feeling better about the process, about the results that came from the report, how that report is delivered to us, you know, what information is in that report. There were all kinds of things that we, you know, were looking to incorporate into this product. So, and I see, you know, like I said, Andrea's comments on what's already there, but I don't see the additional.
Sorry, Michelle, as you describing it, sort of a review of the process that happened last fall or whenever it was, I'm wondering if those aren't procedural rather than policy, because that seems very, I don't know, to me it seems like maybe that's more procedural and rather than in regulation or documents of policy.
Yeah, although I agree with Michelle's feedback about what the conversation sounded like. That's what I was under the impression of what we were going to get back. But I think the problem is that we didn't feel like we were informed enough about the policy and the process. And I think that's what we're trying to do is just create some clarity about, you know, what the report should look like or what we're able to ask for. I think there was a lack of experience and knowledge about what that looks like. And I think that's what we were trying to incorporate, is to fill in some blanks.
Well, where does that take
simple
us
but
from here?
Simple but thorough. I don't know if that's a good summary.
Andrea, what do you think? To me, it seems like that could be a really big document, or that's a lot of specificity. Would that actually go into a policy?
Well, what we have in this policy is, I mean, there's a small section on the investigation, and you can either hire someone or you can run it through internally. But at that point, whoever you've delegated that responsibility to, they really have to have, I mean, you can give parameters in what you're assigning to them to investigate, but they have to have the discretion to use their judgment in what the report itself looks like. So I agree with you, it's a procedural, would be the best thing to do would be to lay out the procedure for how you want the reporting done back to you. But the more substantive of what we want your report to contain, that would really take away the independence of the investigator. So I think I agree with your proposal, Susan, is to put that more into a procedural, not in a policy, but kind of a document of this is what we're expecting of our investigator to return to us.
So like an addendum maybe.
Yeah, kind of this is okay. How you get there is up to you, but this is what we want reported to us.
Right, but wouldn't that also, change depending on the circumstance?
Absolutely. And that's why there has to be some discretion based on their professional judgment allowed.
Right. Okay. Well, it seems to me that the expectation that the general counsel would be the person managing or coordinating would be sensible. One of the things that was different about last time that I think was unique, that it involved board members. And so that created, I think, some tension with regard to just information that wouldn't necessarily be, I think that's unusual. I mean.
I agree. It was handled differently than I had seen last time.
Okay.
I mean, you can, the board should give guidance to counsel on how they want a specific complaint handled. You know, if it's a severe complaint, then you would suggest counsel to find a qualified investigator to do it outside of LTD. And then they create the report based on the procedures that you've set forth, and that comes back to the board.
Right. We just keep going around and around with this.
Well, I mean, would you like for Andrea to draw up some procedures that make sense for the board and bring it back? I mean, in terms of, outcomes that, that the board wants to see?
Well, I mean, I guess there's kind of themes from my perspective. Needs to be, there should be transparency, obviously, within the confidentiality that would be required for whatever, the issue would be. But more, I guess, just identifying what the different steps are broadly, and then there has to be latitude for whatever the situation is. Do others think that it'd be a good idea to have Andrea give a first stab at this, and then we can have something to go from there? Andrea,
I would agree with that, Susan, if it's okay for me to join in.
Sure, of course. So
yeah,
Andrea.
We definitely need that revision.
Right. So Andrea, you're going to do a draft of that.
Okay.
And then what kind of parameters or guidance do you want from us at this point? Just that it's a general overall of practice procedures. That's what I'm thinking.
So what I'm hearing is we don't want it in the policy itself.
Correct. This is an addendum.
Yeah, yeah, see the addendum. Yeah, I understand. I'll get that back to you.
Okay. And do you have a timeline? When do you think that is reasonable to expect?
Within the next 2 weeks.
Well, that'd be great. Okay. And do others think that's the best path forward there?
Yeah, I agree with that. The one other thing that we did talk about that probably, I think we've had this conversation and Andrew agreed at the time, but maybe has a different thought today, was discussion around attorneys and what options may or may not exist for board members and how that ties into this investigation or, you know, that kind of thing too. I think we're missing the attorney piece in here as representation to impacted folks that are impacted by this, by, you know, an investigation.
Emily, do you have anything to add on here? I think you should have to stay until we're done completing this process.
I was just going to add, we did talk about, you know, whether people can get reimbursed or when funds were available to board members or other folks involved and when they wouldn't be. And again, just using it more of a point of information rather than policy. So maybe a similar solution that we just proposed for the harassment policy might be appropriate.
Okay. So are we done with harassment? Can we move from harassment?
I think at one point, I think there was a conversation also about what happens or what's the policy internally for folks who have a complaint against HR or the GM or director. I felt like there was something missing that we wanted to address that we were concerned about as well, that nothing had happened, but just that there was a concern that there might be a gap in policy as well there.
Have we seen the HR, the internal HR policy for how a complaint or a concern is brought to the attention of directors, HR, and so on?
It's in our hand in our employee handbook.
Okay.
And that's available on our website.
Yeah, okay. Sorry for good point, Susan. Thanks for asking that. Just for clarity's sake, we were talking about more about if there was a scenario where it bypassed kind of the normal chain of commands for some reason and came to the board and what the board had to report right. It or didn't understand how to report it if that was right. The case.
Right. And I guess one of the things that thinking about experience I've had in workplace, that there is a mechanism for someone to bring a concern to elevate it up. And if it is their direct supervisor or if it's someone in a position that they really don't feel like they can go to them, especially if it would be a concern would be about one of those people, what is the mechanism for that? I mean, do you have like an employee, I don't know, a HR committee internally or is there no, I don't know, no.
Ultimately, HR manages that for the district. So all initial complaints go to HR. If they've got a complaint to HR, then they go to the general manager.
But that's kind of the way
it's structured. Right. HR is the kind of the independent.
Switzerland.
Yeah, and the district, you know, kind of right. Deal with those kind of complaints. I mean, sure. The way it's designed.
Isn't there a process first, though, that you go to your immediate supervisor and give them the opportunity to work with the employee and that there's a...
Well, unless they're complaining about their supervisor.
Well, that, of course, yep.
Right, you know, but yeah, I mean, you always want to try and resolve things at the lowest level possible, right? You know, between right. two people, let resolve it there. Supervisor, resolve it there. You know, ultimately, if it doesn't happen, move up, then, you know, preferences that are not, right?
Okay. Emily, was that, does that address what you were wondering about?
A little bit. I think it was more of, there's a concern about a gap between the HR handbook and the, and reaching the board level. So just trying to get some more clarity on if, Susan, you get brought a complaint by an employee because they right. didn't feel comfortable going to, you know, the appropriate channels, then what do we do with that? What's the appropriate context? So it's just hard because we're trying to, you know, talk about what if scenarios and just trying to give people more clarity on what pathways are appropriate rather than it going to a board member and stopping there when it should have been, you know, maybe elevated somewhere else.
Right. Okay. So Andrea, maybe that's something you can just review and look at and see if there's something else that needs to be addressed to the procedure document.
Okay.
Okay. Before we just go right through, Emily, you said you had some other things. And I think rather than going through all the steps that we've done before, does anyone have a specific policy or subject that they want to review or bring to the attention that we can talk about? Emily, you said you had some.
Yeah, just a couple of edits. I think we had covered a lot of topics, and so I think Camille just got put in the unfortunate position to keep up with all of us. So I think in a couple of them, there was a board GM policy that we got mostly edited, but there were a few line items in that that weren't quite capturing what we had intended. Part of it being like option to meet with the GM on a regular basis. It just didn't get kind of portrayed exactly the way that we intended. And I'm sorry, I don't have the number line item in front of me. And then there was something about in the bylaws about the legal obligations of whether or not a board member could be removed by their fellow board members. And I think that didn't quite come across the way that we intended either. So I just wanted to just point out those two.
What do you think, the changes or the additions to being able to remove a fellow board member, do you have suggested language or something specific that you would want to be in there differently?
Well, it just made it sound like we were kind of the judge and the jury, and I didn't feel like that was appropriate. I think we were trying to capture more like negligent or unethical as opposed to perceived opinions or perceived or opinions, excuse me. Michelle, you had some really good.
So are you talking about section 2.7 resignation and removal? It looks like what was added. This might be what you're questioning is, and it says only the governor has the authority to remove a director prior to the expiration of their term. But based on board member violation of statutes, administrative rules, public meeting law, ethics laws, or policy, the board with majority vote may make a recommendation to the governor for removal from the board. Is that the section you're talking about?
Yes.
And so what would you like changed?
I think it just was, there's a lot of detail there. And I think we were just more of a, if there was something unethical happening on the board would want to be able to make that recommendation. But then it was like, well, do we need to be expert in all of these details, in which case that would be more of a legal counsel discussion and not a board member discussion.
Andrea, what are you thinking?
Well, I think what Emily is saying is maybe the board take out the part on based on board member violation of statutes, et cetera, and just leave it with the board with the majority vote. may make a recommendation to the governor for removal, because then it puts you can certainly consult with council before doing that, and I can help you through if there has been, but that would be up to the governor's office to then investigate. So I think Emily's edit's probably a good one.
Okay. Camille, did you get that?
Yes.
And I think Michelle had some really good points about this section as well. So I just wanted to make sure that we didn't lose some of her previous comments.
I'm not sure I remember what they were at this point.
Okay.
I mean, I think we just wanted to, I think the tone of this revised sentence probably covers what we were all trying to get to.
Okay. I'm going to go through and look at all the additions, corrections, the edits. I guess I feel like we're pretty close. What do the rest of you think?
Yeah, I think that where we kind of were hitting roadblock was on the role of the president.
Mm-hmm.
Was kind of where we kept kind of circling around where we wanted to
right.
Look on that. And I have notes here that we have all of the different options that Camille provided us, but also maybe Andrea might have some thought around what that could say that would cover all of the bases, but not be so full of information that, we're just tied into something really dialed in.
I guess I feel like this is the portion that I was quite comfortable with the, bylaws in the old version, in the very beginning before we made any corrections, that seemed pretty standard and appropriate for the board chair, president responsibility and activities. So I still feel like we really have to make sure that there is that there's equity with regard to board input and involvement. Obviously, whoever is the president is going to have more responsibility in terms of communication and so on.
Right, and I think that's really what kind of started our circling
right.
around the language in this point was we wanted to, I think board members felt like there was not enough involvement from the full board on some decisions that have been made. And that's where we were trying to make sure that we were addressing that concern and making a clear understanding that the full board should be more engaged in decision-making.
I guess I feel I agree with you, Michelle, certainly in terms of involvement, but I guess I'm also thinking in terms of authority. I think it's the authority piece that also, the original document says that they chair the meetings, they appoint committees and so on. And then we've gone through several different drafts, but the concern I have is to make sure that that the authority of the chair is leadership, but it isn't necessarily the decision-making part. I don't know if I'm making clear,
right.
But.
Right, and I agree. I think the original language was fine, but there was just concern and a lot of our communication on that topic was how do we ensure that the full board is represented in decision-making? And I don't know, maybe that's where Andrea can, give us some better language or, where maybe we would want to put that context of
Can you clarify, Michelle, will you clarify decision-making? Are you talking about what goes on the agenda? Are you talking about, what do you, can you
Make decisions? Yeah, it was really, you know, most of this conversation was tied around the investigation and all of the things that transpired during that time frame. And one of those was the shift from legal counsel, you know, one legal counsel to another legal counsel. Those were all things that were still really heavily on people's minds when we started this conversation, and maybe we've moved past that. I don't know. I'm not hearing quite as much sensitivity to that today. I just want to make sure we don't forget, you know, what our concerns were, and in the place we're in today, do we still need to have that conversation, or are we, you know, just comfortable with what we have in our bylaws today? I just want to make sure we get that covered.
With regard to the general counsel, I think the decision was to not have that in the bylaws and actually have it in our procurement policy. And so we've got our procurement manager kind of working on revising the policy so it states specifically how the general counsel is handled.
Right, right. Thank you for reminding us of all of that.
I was just going to say another point of clarity. I think you might have just addressed that, but because you're talking about two different documents, you're talking about bylaws right now, but your concern is actually related to the harassment policy where the board chair is the designated person. Did you guys change that?
I didn't hear some of what you said, but
oh, sorry. Can you hear me better now?
Yeah,
that's better.
I was just saying that the concern that you just addressed had to do with the board chair being the designated body or representative in the harassment policy. It didn't have anything to do with the bylaws. So I'm just curious, can you guys remind me, did you change that designation in the policy?
No.
Because, does that make sense?
It makes sense. I don't think that specifically was addressed. I think the assumption was, or I guess, I assume that whoever is the president or the chair, if there's a situation like we had before, they would be the liaison with the general counsel as they were before. It can't be everybody, obviously. And that authority is delegated to the chair by the rest of the board. Now, I suppose it wouldn't have to necessarily be the president. The board could decide to delegate, you know, some other board member. I don't think we've really discussed that.
I was just trying to support or kind of give some clarity on why things played out the way they did. And it was because when we created the harassment policy, it was put in there that the board chair was the designated representative to make all the decisions. And then these are the decisions we're talking about right now.
Was it to make all the decisions, or was it to be the person who coordinated and managed the process?
Yeah, sorry, I said that wrong. Not make decisions. Be informed, I guess. The board chair was to be informed.
You were the board representative. Yeah, the chair is the board representative. Correct.
Yeah.
And I think, just to clarify what I think Michelle may be talking about, going back to the power of the president or the chair of the board and the changing of legal counsel, that was a decision made by the former general counsel, I'm sorry, general manager, through a procurement policy. So I think that is what is being rewritten right now without my involvement. But that wasn't an action taken by the board president. And she's never, the board, that position is as far as I can tell from your history, has never had that sort of authority.
But I guess I think that was a grave concern on the part of board members, a number of board members, that in fact that the general manager had taken that decision and done that. It seemed that from my perspective, that was not appropriate.
Right. And I think that's what Mark talked about, is what's being redone now in how that happens going forward. But I think it was a gray area on what the general manager on that time, it, as far as I understand. I mean, I was the one hired, so I obviously wasn't advising her on how to hire. Right. But I think that's what Mark referred to as being resolved now with the new procurement policy.
Right. So wherever these adjustments are made, whichever policy is fine, I just want to make sure that there was just so much conversation around it. I just want to make sure we're not losing sight of it, and that it does get, you know, resolved in the correct place. And I think, you know, back to the emails that we did receive today, which Andrea probably would want to maybe review some of the comments, because I think they kind of go to some of the things we're saying to you, right? So the community has some of those same concerns, and I do want to make sure that we're paying attention to that. And, you know, just trying to solidify whichever policy it is, if it's the bylaws, if it's a specific policy, do we need to create a policy around some, you know, specifically around something. I just want to make sure we are being cognizant of those concerns, both from board members and the community.
I guess one question I have is, Mark, is the procurement policy something that will then be approved by the board, or is this something that is under the purview entirely of the general manager?
No, it'll be approved by the board, because it is a, you know, it is a policy that the board, has to approve when it comes to our procurement. So, we'll bring it back to the board once it's revised. And because I think the last time you approved it was probably 2 years ago, we made some changes. So, you know, when it's done, we'll bring it back again for approval.
And I don't want to.
But the board didn't approve. Sorry. But the procurement process that happened before was not approved by the board. So you are going to clarify that it would be, even if it's under the financial obligation to get approval of a contract?
Yeah, so it's a policy. So the board approves our policies in those, you know, in that area particularly. And so, you know, we'll bring it back for board approval with the changes noted. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to administering the policy, well, then it goes over to the general manager, and we make sure that, you know, it's administered in the way that, you know, it's intended and the board approved.
I guess one of the areas that I don't think is clear enough, and that is, that is this legal counsel to the board? Is it legal counsel to the organization? And that to me seems like a bit of a conundrum, that those are not always going to be one and the same.
Well, maybe Andrea can clarify this, but the way I look at it is the general counsel is the district's counsel. And that includes, you know, advising the board and the general manager.
But I guess, so in other words, the board does not have legal counsel that's separate from the organization.
Andrea, you might be able to.
I do. The board and the organization, so the organization being represented through the general manager, are assumed to have aligned interests when you go into a situation like this. And so I represent counsel to the board and the entity. If a situation arises where there's a conflict between the board and the entity being represented by the general manager, then I have to step out of it and we hire counsel for both, paid for by the entity.
When you say we hire, well, does that mean the board hires?
The board would hire its own counsel, and LTD, the general manager, would hire its own counsel to advise on those conflicting interests. Your general counsel, me, would have a conflict because I represent both sides.
Right.
Work your way through it, which may be what should have happened back in the fall when all this came up. But that's the way that I've always understood it and have advised my other boards on how the process should be. I mean, it's not often. I mean, you're there to lead LTD. So it's not often that your interests conflict to the point of needing separate representation. But if it does get to that point, then that is what has to be done, because any general counsel is going to have a conflict.
So the general manager hires the general counsel, or as I'm understanding it now. So does the board actually have the authority to hire their own general counsel?
If you feel you have interests that conflict with your entity, then yes, absolutely.
Does that need to be stated?
It could be. I mean, you could set that out in some sort of policy in the occasion of a conflict of interest. But it's assumed that your interests are aligned and your general counsel is your counsel for the board and general advice to the entity until such a time as my governing ethics require me to let my client know that I have a conflict because your two interests are no longer aligned. And that can certainly be put in a policy.
So when you say your client, would that be the general manager first, or would it be the board first?
It's all one and the same until there's a conflict. And if there's a conflict, then
saying.
Neither. Yeah,
right, but
if there's a conflict, then I don't represent either. I'm sorry, I spoke over you,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I understand the, hopefully there's never going to be an issue where there would need to be a separation of counsel. However, when you said, if you felt that there was an ethical violation, or I'm paraphrasing, that you would inform LTD. So what I'm asking is, who would you call? Would you call the general counsel? Would you call the board? Or would it be a communication to both of them at the same time?
So if I came to the conclusion that LTD, the body, is has a conflict with the board, then I would call the president of the board and the general manager and say,
okay,
there's a conflict here. I need to step back, and you both need to get your own separate advisors to guide you through this issue.
Okay. You wouldn't be able to continue on for the LTD? You'd have to be removed?
It's just on that issue. Just on that issue.
Sure, got it. Okay.
Yeah. But no, you couldn't stay, because my loyalties are to the entirety of you.
Correct. Okay. Does anyone else have a question or?
No, that's really good discussion. And I think that's the kind of institutional knowledge that we're trying to capture, so that we don't get into the scenario again of, you know, woulda, coulda, shouldas, or did this go as smoothly as it could have? So I think if we can capture this succinctly without, you know, sort of belaboring it too much, I think that would be beneficial for whatever scenario comes up, you know, hopefully many, many years in the future.
Right. Andrea, I guess when you're, you know, doing your review, I think it's important that we memorialize the conversation that we've just had, that the lines of communication and authority or so on are clearly stated. So there's no assumption that it's, but in fact, it's sort of a deliberately written document. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Michelle, does that get to the things that you were addressing?
Yeah, I think so. I just, you know, as we're having this quite a kind of try to wrap this up conversation, I just, you know, feel it's important that we make sure we don't leave anything hanging that we were not completely resolved on yet. So, yeah, I think if we can get something from Andrea on that topic and just kind of help, you know, put the final.
I feel, yeah. Well, I feel like this conversation has been really helpful at being a little more definitive about the different issues instead of just kind of circling around it. And so at least for me, that this has been really helpful. And once Andrea is able to put those words on paper for us, I think that will be a real progress.
Okay.
Emily, you get the first shot at this since this is your last go around. Are there any other, or don't you think, Mark, we should just say she can't leave until they're done? We're getting close.
I'm happy to stay somewhat involved as a community member going forward. How's that?
This will be where Caitlin puts you on to continues having you on the ad hoc committee. So.
The other thing I was going to say is, we've already touched on it, is there was a discussion at one point about continuity of as we're removing different points out of the bylaws, that we're making sure that the policies were robust enough that we weren't losing data from the bylaws or vice versa. So I think we covered some of that. One of the topics we were just covering earlier, sorry, my brain is trying to keep up with all of this, that there was some concerns about whether there was overlap or inconsistencies. And maybe it was a harassment policy that Caitlin had asked about. So we were making sure we weren't creating more confusion in the bylaws right. versus the policy. So that was my only final thoughts on that.
Caitlin, what about you? Are we, you're the one that's had to look at all this paper over and over. Are we missing anything? Is there something else that you would like clarity on?
No, and I Emily, appreciate you bringing that up. I just wanted to make, you know, I just wanted to be really clear that some of the issues that people are resonating about are stemming from that anti-harassment policy. So just, I don't mean to beat a dead horse, but just, I want to keep going back to the fact that people are feeling frustrated about stuff that was related to that policy and not necessarily the bylaws, and everyone be really clear about that. Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Camille?
The only thing I have outstanding is there has not been any committee direction specifically to all of Andrea's comments in the bylaws and her advice in the bylaws and the working agreement, and whether the committee wants me to go ahead and incorporate those, or if they have any questions about any of those, if the committee wants to accept all of them, I will go ahead and incorporate those.
Excluding the things that we've talked about today.
Yes.
Okay. Wow, you mean ink instead of pencil? That's pretty amazing. The things that the open issues are ones that Andrea is going to get information to us about, and then hopefully we'll be at a point for very soon for Camille to incorporate all of those as well.
What specifically you need additional information on for the bylaws?
I think just the addendum that you were talking about, I think the different documents, I think for me, it'd be helpful to see them even separately.
Okay, yeah. And I think that's for the harassment policy. I think what Kate or Camille is referring to are some of the kind of the changes that were made. And I kind of made a couple of notes of, I'm not sure we should really take that out, or is this really what you mean in the bylaws? Camille, is that what you're talking about, so that you can go ahead and finalize
those? Yes. In the bylaws and the working agreement specifically. And with the working agreement, the committee had requested that Andrea provide some advice on a couple of sections, and she did do that. So I just need the committee to go through those and say, accept this one, we have questions about this one, or go ahead and just incorporate everything that Andrea advised on those two documents specifically.
Well, I think on page 8, there's a comment number 3 and number 4 that were both omitted sentences that were recommended to put back in. I think those would be pretty straightforward to put back in. The ones on page 11 are a little bit more, I think, in line with the discussion today that we had, that maybe we need a little bit more detail on how best to incorporate that consideration. And then I think that's all that I see on the bylaws. I'm going to switch to the harassment policy, but if anybody else wants to chime in on the bylaws, please feel free.
The comments that you just made, Emily, was that regarding the working agreement or the bylaws?
No, that was on the bylaws.
Okay, thank you.
So maybe just so we can put some finality to the bylaws, I can give you the information on my comments of under 7.1 indemnity. My only concern there is you're taking from yourselves the ability to be defended in the case someone sues you and they allege malfeasance in office or willful or wanton neglect of duty. So I would recommend that I just reword that for you so that you are entitled to a defense with a reservation of rights that the LTD could come back and get the money if you're found to have engaged in that conduct. Just so you're not, because people can allege anything in a lawsuit and you don't want to be left bare. And then B, this is different than the conversation that we just had about where there's a conflict between the board and LTD. This is you guys saying, if we are sued, we get to choose our attorney. And I'm just saying your insurance company is probably going to be paying for defense, and they're probably going to require that they use one of their panel attorneys. So we could just add language in to the extent possible or something like that. So
something like that, there can be preference given or something, but I agree. I think
certainly to the extent allowed by the insurance company. So if you'll allow me to make those changes for Camille, then maybe she can get those two wrapped up.
That'd be great. Okay. Camille, does that make you happy?
I'll get to the language, Camille.
Perfect. Thank you.
And then on the board working agreement, the first comment is more just about the formality about that section. And I think we felt that it was okay based on the tone that we were trying to capture. So I don't think there was any direct changes suggested on AC1, which is the comment on page 4 of 5 on the board working agreement on the handouts. And then the AC2 comment was actually really helpful. It made us talk a little bit more about how the evaluation was gonna be done or self-evaluation was gonna be done. And I don't think we came to a conversation on that. So maybe that's something we can spend a couple minutes on.
Emily, you went in and out there. What did you say at the end?
Yeah, I've been having trouble with other people's audio too. So apologies. On page 5 of 5 on the board working agreement and the handouts, the second comment from Andrea said it's not clear who the policy is addressing and who is supposed to be doing these things. And I remember when we initially saw that comment, we actually found it to be very valuable because we didn't really have a process around that. And so I don't know that we came to a final resolution other than we need more clarity. So I don't think we need Andrea to give us more direction other than what she's already pointed out, which is helpful.
Michelle, are we getting close?
I hope so. I think on the evaluation, one of my questions was whether or not that would need to be facilitated, and what does that process look like for that evaluation? And my notes say that we were going to maybe check with SDAO or some other entity for some guidance there.
Yeah, so I think it was 2 or 3 meetings ago, I had provided the committee with some best practices on board self-assessments, which I'm more than happy to resend.
That would be very helpful. We've just seen so many different versions of all
these
things.
Yeah, and, we have provided a lot of information. You know, board self-governance takes a lot of different tracks. And usually it's helpful to have a facilitator come in and help you kind of walk through about, you know, how you did and, you know, kind of make that self-assessment.
And then I think our question was, who facilitates initiating that process, and I think we should just make it an annual thing, and it should just
certainly we schedule it for you as needed and working forward to say, okay, we're going to do assessment next, you know, right? And yeah,
right. So I think we just need to make sure it gets on the agenda and we go through that process.
Typically, it's an annual retreat,
yeah.
Pete, I know you're there. Do you have anything you want to add or comment on?
The only thing I really want to comment on that I think hasn't been touched as much as it is we still kind of need maintenance. I think there's some decision making by the president that the setting of the agenda and how that mechanism works might need a little bit of clarification, because right now we're put on a new agenda item that allows board members to bring up things right now, the way the bylaws are written, the president basically has all the authority to set the agenda, which is, I know most of the time we just have pretty things that just come up, you know, budgets and policies and stuff like that. But if there are issues that come up and someone brings it up, how does that become part of the agenda that's, and there hasn't been a anything written to, or we don't have a real clear pathway to do that. So let's say Michelle here had some burning topic that is relevant to her sub-district. And it might not be relevant to other sub-districts. How does she get that push forward, you know, and I think we probably need to have some outline of how that works.
So with the standing agenda item at the regular board meetings now, for board members to add agenda items, that is the process. The board president doesn't solely decide whether a board member can add an agenda item or not. That goes to the full board. So at a meeting, when we get to that agenda item for requests from board members, that's where you mention, hey, I really would like to have information on blah, blah, blah. Then the full board votes on it. And the board as a whole decides whether that gets added to a future agenda or not. As far as the rest of the agenda items, it's really staff driven, because it's the staff that are the experts that know what's going on with the projects and the districts and or the projects and contracts. Having a hard time with words today. So it's staff that really kind of fill out the annual working agenda and kind of the picture for the year, and the timing of when things need to come to the board or its committees to advise the board. And so the meeting that we have with the board president, because the board president is the chair, chairing the meeting and guiding the meeting, we just review the agenda with the board president so that they're prepared for everything that's going to be happening at a given meeting.
Right. Well, the reason I say this is that I don't remember where I read this, and the way the bylaw is written now, it indicates, I mean, what you describe is how it really works, but what it indicates is that the president has essentially the full power of that, making that decision, which, and as you said, 90% of the time it is going to be staff driven, because that's how you guys are the experts, right? As you stated, but if we are going to follow through with this idea of the ability to have board members bring up something, we should at least, I think we should have at least a sentence that says that in the bylaws. I'm not sure exactly how you do it. I haven't thought that through yet.
It is a relatively standard practice bylaws of other transit agencies. Some have a section on how agendas are set and some don't. So it is within the purview of transit agency bylaws to have something on that. We can add something to that effect in, absolutely.
It doesn't have to be something really big, I think, but I think it should be stated that board members may bring up topics for the agenda, and the president may, or I don't know if they may or shall, to put that on the agenda.
Sure.
Pete, do you have any suggested language? I'm sorry, having a little trouble hearing you, but do you have some suggested language?
It's okay if you don't. I'm happy to pull from the multitude of other transit agency board bylaws that I have brought forth as best practices.
Yeah, we can look.
I think at some point we just have to decide what we want. We can review what goes on in other districts, but I appreciate the comments, Pete. We can get that reflected, that would be great.
Camille, is the process that you described, is that written anywhere?
I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. I'm scrolling through right now. I thought that there was something written.
It seems to me that there is too. So in the bylaw, once we identify where that process is written down, you can just say in accordance with whatever that is, and in consultation with the general manager, the president sets the final agenda.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And if it's not written, we can write it down.
Yeah, it could be in the work. It probably should be in the working agreement, actually, on how that.
Yeah.
I think that may be where I had seen it.
Yeah.
Yes. It's number 13.
Okay.
Under section 100.10.3, role of the board in the working agreement.
This is a very nifty little thing, but it's a question I have. Seems like we go back and forth by saying the president or the chair. Seems like those are kind of used interchangeably. Which one is
that
it?
That should be consistent.
Yes, for the board, it's the board president. For committees, for the board's committees, it is chair.
Has that, because I guess I just remember hearing chair, and then all of a sudden it kind of went to president, and then it goes back and forth. So I don't care what it is. I just think we need some clarity around it.
I'm looking at this right now, and this language is fine, in my opinion.
I'm happy to add a reference to that in the bylaws.
Yeah.
If that's more comfortable.
It might be good.
Okay.
Because the public is looking at that and going, And I know that there's, we've had emails about that particular thing.
Sure.
Okay. Do we actually get some more time out in the sun? Mark, is there anything else that we need to review or discuss or talk about?
No, not for this. I think we're pretty much there. Right. We'll I'll check on the procurement policy and where that's at. And hopefully over the next month, or so, we can bring back the board for approval along with the changes here. And hopefully over when we meet again in August, actually, we can get these approved.
Right.
One point of clarification on the harassment policy, the items that you've requested from Andrea, are you wanting, when she gets those back in a couple of weeks, are you wanting me to then just bring that final draft to the August board meeting for board review and adoption? Or are you wanting there to be one more committee meeting to review what she brings back, so I know what to schedule or not?
I think it would be helpful to see all of the different documents that we have reviewed in a final state.
Okay.
Without red lines and all of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Just the final, this is what we want to approve state.
Mm-hmm.
And see from there if that all still lines up with the conversations and the thoughts we've had, and, you know, just maybe taking into account some of the feedback we've received from the community. Does some of that need to maybe just be put in there as, you know, to make sure we're taking that feedback seriously and appreciating the time that they take to give that to us. And just kind of, you just, I guess I'm not still quite sure where we land until I see that final
short
document. So maybe at that point we could decide if we needed another committee meeting. But if nothing else, if we don't do a committee meeting, I would like to see us do a full board meeting that gives enough time for conversation if we need to have one. Like not a 10 or 15 minute agenda item, but maybe, you know, a little more time for discussion if it's needed. And maybe it's not needed, but just to allow for it if it is.
So what is the consensus of the committee then? Do you want me to bring all of the final draft documents to maybe a board work session? I can check and see if we have time for the August board work session. For the full board to see the final draft with no red line edits, or do you want one more committee meeting to see that?
Hey, Camille, are we replacing Emily's spot on this committee?
That was going to be coming up as a question at the board meeting. Up to the committee and you.
Okay, because we could talk about that, but it might be a good idea if we're filling in a new person, if there is an additional meeting of this committee so they can get caught up to speed, review what Andrea is going to be sending in, and just kind of get their feet underneath them before this goes to the full board.
I guess, I think we're about done.
Yeah, this committee is pretty well done. So I don't know why we would actually put it on.
I think we could draft Pete if we felt like we needed someone else. But I guess I think that I agree with Michelle. If we can have a clean document to see without any distraction, to review that, and maybe the committee get it earlier, and then just a few days, but that the board have it in time to be able to look at it and review it thoughtfully before either the working, I would think the working session in August.
And we can send it out to the whole board.
Yeah.
We can send it out to the whole board for review.
Yeah.
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 It would go in the board work session meeting packet, which will go out 7 days prior to.
Sure.
But we can send it out prior to that, Kevin. If it's ready.
For review, yes. As long as, yes.
When is that work session, Camille?
I believe it's August 6th.
Okay.
1 second. August 3rd.
August 3rd, you said?
Yes.
Okay, so just so you know, I won't be here for that if I'm needed for that. I'm on vacation until the 4th. So I guess you do the work session, and then if there's changes that I need to make afterwards, you just let me know that.
Okay.
Okay. Going. I think we are ready to call it a day. So thank you, everyone. And as Caitlin would say, 45 minutes giving you back this afternoon, and I adjourn the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thanks, everybody.